Day podcast audience. This is your man, Kenny Hodge. And that's right, I got him back in the studio. Today in the studio, I've got Tom Giampa from Federal Injury Centers. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Kenny, how you been?
All right, it's been a minute, man, since we got a chance to get together.
Yes, sir.
And lay down some information for the podcast audience, man. But here we are, and we're ready to get it done.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, what do you think we should talk about today, man?
Well, I want to hit up on a text that you sent me several weeks ago. Can someone get a CA-16 when they file their case, their CA-1, through eComp? Okay. Yeah. And so the fact of the matter is, Kenny, is I'm actually not 100% sure if they can do that. Now, first of all, do you know what a CA-16 is?
Of course I know what a CA-16 is.
Oh, okay, but that's not a very good answer for radio and having a good time, right?
Okay. Wait a minute. What? No, Tom. Yeah. I do not know what a CA-16 is.
Right. See, I didn't think so.
Explain it.
See, I knew you had no idea about this, and that's why I wanted to ask, you know?
Okay.
So I'm glad I did, otherwise you would have been deficient in knowledge. So a CA-16 is an authorization to treat and examination, okay? This is essentially when you get hurt at work, and nobody has to get hurt at work. This is something that happens to you, okay? On a CA-1 traumatic injury only, okay? You'll go ahead and file your claim on ecomp.dol.gov. You'll file your CA-1 there. The question is, how do I get a CA-16? First of all, why do you even want a CA-16? You want a CA-16 because it pays for all of your medical treatment, including emergency surgeries if you need to, durable medical equipment, which is bracing, okay, if you need a back brace or something, and any treatment you need until your case gets approved or for the first 60 days from the date of injury, okay? So this is essentially your ticket to not having to pay anything out of pocket for your unwanted work-related injury. So here's what you do. You file your CA-1 either in person or online, but how do we suggest people do it, Kenny?
Ecomp, always online.
Ecomp,
exactly. And 1 second, and that was really why I sent you that text, because as employees get comfortable using Ecomp, because now they like Ecomp, one of the main reasons is they don't have to interact with that supervisor.
They don't have to talk to the supervisor,
so
exactly.
But now I put my CA-1 in through Ecomp, I still have to have conversations with that supervisor?
Right, and I would say go ahead and have it, and here's the reason why, okay? This is your right to have a CA-16. If you file a CA...
So you were saying if you file a CA-1?
If you file a CA-1 within 7 days of the date of injury, it is your absolute right to ask and request a CA-16 authorization for treatment and examination.
Okay. But you see, most people don't understand that CA-16, and for some reason, post office will send them to get medical care. They will give their own information and then receive medical bills that they then usually have to transfer to Department of Labor. If they have that CA-16, will that bypass all of that?
Yes. Yes, it absolutely will.
Okay.
Okay. And essentially what will end up happening is that CA-16 will get attached with whatever bills your doctor's office generates, and they'll send that in with them, and then OWCP will pay them directly.
So if you do the CA-16, you should never get a bill.
Correct, and that's the whole purpose of the CA-16, is so that you, the injured employee, does never have to come out of pocket, okay? You know, one of these episodes we'll talk about how your mileage form, your OWCP 957, okay? And we'll talk about your OWCP 915 form, which allows you to get anything that you paid for medical goods, any co-pays that you had to pay prior to your case getting accepted, how to get all that refunded back to you, okay? So when it comes down to the CA-16, the thing to remember is that you need to request it within 7 days from your date of injury. And this is the most important part. They have only 4 hours to give it to you. How many hours?
4 hours.
4 hours, exactly. That's not a long time. Okay, so when you go in, just know that there is a legal penalty and fine if your supervisor refuses to give it to you. So here's what I would do personally. Okay, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying here's what I would do. If I walked into my supervisor's office or postmaster's office, whoever, and said, I was injured, I filed my claim on Ecomp, I am requesting form CA-16, okay? I'll say it's 12 o'clock now. Legally, I'm supposed to have this at the absolute latest by 4 p.m., all right? They've got 4 hours to give it to you. Now, here's what they're going to tell you. What's form CA-16? We never heard of that. Yeah, no problem. Call Human Resources, okay? Human Resources know what they are, and they can send them to facility. Now, what if your supervisor says, We don't give CA-16s out here. That's an improper answer. It's irrelevant, and yes, they do. If you are employed by the federal government anywhere, okay, including the U.S. territories, by the way, when you request a CA-16 after filing a CA-1, they have to give it to you no matter what, if they believe your injury was caused by work or not, within 4 hours.
Okay. Now, again, I work at the post office, and they pride themselves on doing the opposite of what it is they should do. So I have to ask you this question. I walk into the office, Mr. and Mrs. Supervisor, Manager, whoever you may be. I've injured myself. I filed a CA-1 through eComp, and I'm asking or requesting a CA-16. I understand you have 4 hours to give it to me. We're on hour five. You don't have the CA-16. Now what's your recourse?
Okay, so in most cases, I would say go talk to your union right away. Okay, go talk to your union officials right away. However, there's certain unions out there that don't like that response, okay? So I would definitely hit up your steward right away and say, hey, what is the proper way to go about this? You're also on hour five. I would circumvent your supervisor, postmaster, whoever your leadership is, and call human resources directly yourself, okay?
Okay, now see, now, and again, I like the point where you said most unions don't get involved with that. And let me tell you something. That is so true. Most times, particularly if you work where I work in Columbus, Ohio, you ask your steward that, they will probably be all too happy to tell you that they don't do it because it's not in your contract. There's nowhere in our national agreement, which is what that is the guideline for that steward, that talks about OWCP and not filing forms on time. So, you know, the post office, like I said, they pride themselves on doing the opposite of what should be done. So you're injured, you're requesting that 16, they don't provide it for you as they should. And one other thing I'd like to add about that CA-16, don't accept a blank form. A blank CA-16 does you absolutely zero good.
Zero.
And so when they just hand you that form, let me just add to what Tom was saying earlier is that they have to give you a CA-16 within 4 hours. They have to give you a completed CA-16 in 4 hours. Would that be correct, Tom?
That's absolutely correct. So if they hand you a blank form and they go have your doctor fill this out, your doctor can only fill out the top portion, okay? And your doctor will most likely look at the top portion and go, okay, I'll put my treatment facility name in there or my hospital name, urgent care name in there, and address and all that kind of stuff. And then they keep that for themselves. One thing you have to think about is have them make a copy because you need to bring that. Regardless of what doctor says on the top there, you need to bring that with you to your next doctor. They can use it regardless of whose name's in the top. Okay. So in the case where your supervisor doesn't fill out boxes 7 through 13, you have a junk form. You just basically have some fancy recycling to go home with. Okay. Here's the deal. They need to fill out boxes 7 through 13, especially 8, 9, 11, and 13. Okay. And the reason for that is because if these aren't filled in, then this is junk. Okay. The other issue on this form that you really should make sure before walking out of the office is question number six. All right. Question number six, when you boil it down, is basically this. This is the question to the supervisor. Do you believe this work injury happened or not? All right. They get to select there whether they do or not. And here's the great news. It doesn't make a difference what they say. If they believe it was 100% work-related, great. If they don't, then they check box two over there. And it doesn't make a difference what their opinion is. They still have to give you the form. All right. If they say that, I don't think that this actually happened at work, no problem. They're just not going to authorize certain things. You'll have to get them pre-authorized. Your doctor will get them pre-authorized. But you're still entitled to the form regardless of what their opinion is. So, you know, before I had said certain unions are not going to help with this, but certain unions are. Okay. And the thing I'm going to say next is not for everybody. Okay, so if it is for you, then I would absolutely do this process. File a grievance. Okay, I would recommend filing a grievance on not getting your CA-16 in the proper amount of time because people only learn through pain and pleasure. Okay, and sometimes they need to have their wrist slapped, and even worse, they can get a fine for not giving this to you on time.
Hey, Tom, let me ask you a question now. Let's go back to that question six. And, sure. You know, there's an A and B, and B's got two parts to it. Yep. Now, when they ask, there's doubt whether the employee's condition is caused by an injury sustained in the performance of their duty.
Yep.
Is that's where, for postal employees, that's where their supervisor has every intention on what they call controverting your claim.
Yes.
So if you're not aware of that, and this is why it's important to understand how these forms are filled out, particularly by management, and understand that they can controvert, but until that controversy is accepted, you have a right to have all the benefits that are due to you. So exactly. The fact that, you know, that they say they're going to controvert your claim until it's accepted, they can say all they want. It doesn't stop you or hinder your rights as per the CA-16.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing to kind of remember, and we hear this a lot. I mean, a lot, Kenny. I mean, in fact, it's too much. You know, I really want people to start listening to this and spreading the word. It doesn't make a difference what your supervisor, anyone in management says about whether your claim is legitimate or not. Okay, OWCP is the only authority on that. Okay, so when your supervisor says, well, I'm not going to approve this claim, it doesn't make a difference what your supervisor says in terms of, they can controvert it all they want, but OWCP has the final say. Okay, so yes, if they go ahead and check on here, box 2, which says there is doubt whether the employee's condition is caused by an injury sustained in the performance of duty, it doesn't make a difference. They can check that off. It's not going to hurt your claim. They're going to do some fact-finding as part of the adjudication process for your claim anyway. You just need to get this form so you can get help without it coming out of your own pocket.
And just to reiterate to the podcast audience, this CA-16... Now, you got to understand how important it is, but I also want to let you know that if they don't give you this form, you're going to go to the hospital and use your own medical information. It may still not cost you anything right now, but there may be a copay. But the fact I'm telling you is, without this form, it's possible that you're still going to get treatment. But the manner in which that treatment is paid for is where you're going to really wish you've taken the time and went and got a CA-16.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this, right? The CA-16 form covers the first 60 days from your date of injury, okay? A lot of stuff happens in that period, okay? We've had multiple people rack up thousands and thousands of dollars in copays. Who's responsible for copays? You are, okay? If you had this CA-16... at the hospital, they would charge OWCP. Now, here's the deal. Once your case is accepted, OWCP will go ahead and pay back any medical bills and all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean if you have a long time between when you filed your claim and when it gets accepted, let's say it's 9 months or a year, now you technically can have creditors calling you saying, hey, where are my copays? Okay, this That's right. form alleviates that pressure, okay, because this form will pay for all of that for you as the injured employee.
Okay, and it's very important that the person hearing this show, the person needing that form, understands that, because sometimes you can say, well, I'm going to take a shortcut on this, and you'll find that you still receive medical treatment. So you will convince yourself that, hey, maybe I didn't need that CA-16, right up until those bills start rolling into your house. So let's hear the information. Let's put the information in effect. And if you have to get a CA-1, make sure, if treatment is needed, that you follow up with a CA-16.
Absolutely. Now, let's say you go through the trouble of requesting one. You get your supervisor all riled up. They get to learn about it. They have to call human resources and find out how to fill this out and how to sign their name with proper spelling and all that kind of stuff. And then you never use it. What happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Okay. But what does happen if the opposite, right, on day 8, If you are in the hospital on day 8 and then you request it, they can still say yes, but they can also still say no. It's not your right to have that form anymore. Okay. So as you want to have somebody request it for you on your behalf if you're not able to do it. Okay. Because as long as you request it within that time period, you're entitled to it, because they're supposed to give it to you within 4 hours. Now, if you request it and never use it, no harm, no foul. Nobody cares. But do not get to day 8 and go, dang, man, I think I need that now. Okay. Just get it. If you don't need it, then don't use it. All right? There's a lot of tough guys out there who say, you know what? Let me just see how I do over the weekend, over the next couple of weeks, and kind of go from there. This is an absolute wrong thing to do, okay, because you're just throwing your benefits out the window. And when you do that and you haven't filed your CA-1 and didn't ask for a CA-16, now you're out. You're out. What's the harm in asking today?
That's a good point, and I'm going to segue to another situation. That the postal service, that's 100% postal service. In the post office, if you're injured and you don't require medical attention, they have you fill out what we call a declination statement. Now, here's my question. And I understand that OWCP don't support the declination statement. I get that. But it's a postal thing, and it's a real thing. So you get hurt. You hurt your finger on Monday. You go report to your supervisor. Hey, listen, you know, I squoze my finger up in an APC. It's kind of hurting right now, but I think I'll be all right. Supervisor's going to say to you, are you reporting an injury to me? Well, yes, I am. Do you need medical treatment? No. I'm just letting you know I hurt my finger right now. And so they'll get you the statement called a declination statement. The statement states, I, John Brown, got injured at work, am not requiring medical attention at this time. Haven't filed a CA-1. Now, I still understand you've got 3 years to file that CA-1. Yeah. But now let's say that finger does fine for the next 2-3 months.
Yep.
But on month 5, you smash that finger again. My question to you now is that initial injury or is that a re-injury?
If you smash it again, it would be a new injury. Okay, the new injury may have affected or made worse the original injury.
Okay.
And if that original injury, you're kind of nursing it along and whatnot,
right,
you still have the opportunity to go back and say, look, I thought this was going to be fine. It wasn't. Here's what happened, okay? When you file your claim with OWCP, you're going to file it on a CA-1 because you smashed your, you hit your finger on something causing the injury, okay?
But wait one second. When I file that CA-1, is my date of injury the date of the CA-1 or the date of the declination notice, which it may be 2 months earlier? And my reason for that is that I just lose all my 45-day continuation of pay.
Okay, all right. So let's break the scenario up into just the first part, and we don't have a second injury. Okay, that's going to make it easier for people to get. Okay,
okay.
So let's say you hit your finger in the APC or whatever it was there on January 1st.
Okay,
you report your to your supervisor on January 1st. He says, "Hey, you're going to file a claim? No, sign this declination form." Now you sign it.
Right.
Okay. But several weeks after that, you realize, shoot, I shouldn't have signed that. What you should do is still file your CA-1 with the date of January 1st, because that's the date that you heard it on, all right? And then you will have to write, you're going to need to do this anyway, but you'll include this, okay? Every case, whether it's a CA-1 or a CA-2, you have to write a little story narrative explaining what happened.
Right.
And you would include that. Initially, I did sign a declination form saying I wasn't going to file a claim, because at that time, just like the form says, at this time,
right,
I was not prepared to go ahead and file. However, in the subsequent days, X, Y, and Z has happened. My fingers become worse. It's going to fall off, whatever the injury is.
Okay.
Okay. You'll highlight all that kind of stuff and state in there, yes, I filed the form, but at that time I was not going to file.
Right.
Now I have to because my fingers become worse. That's perfectly acceptable.
But now, when you say acceptable, is it acceptable that I'm still going to get my 45 days COP? Because, again, now, it happened 45 days earlier, and that was the reason for the question of what will be the exact date of the accident.
Okay, so you qualify for 45 days of continuation of pay if you file your claim within 30 days of the date of injury, okay? So in this hypothetical scenario, the injury date was January 1st, and you sign your declination also on January 1st, all right?
Right.
So you got injured on January 1st, you signed your declination on January 1st, now I want you to forget about the declination entirely, all right? Because when it comes to the 45 days of COP, what is the only thing that's relevant here is that you file your CA-1 within 30 days. So you've got essentially till January 30th to file this, okay? Notice there's still one more day left over in January. So you think, I'll just do it on the last day of the month because that's 30 days. Well, if you got somebody who counts starting on the 2nd, then that will bring you to the 31st. If you've got somebody that counts from the 1st, that will bring you to the 30th. So stay safe and just go on the 30th, okay? That will qualify you for your 45 days of continuation of pay. Now, what happens on February 1st if you file, okay? Well, you go down to the bottom of the CA-1 form. It says you're going to use sick or annual time, or you're going to use 45 days of COP. If you keep on reading, it says if you file outside of the 30 days, you're not entitled to 45 days of COP. Okay, there's a little bit of confusion, a lot of confusion when it comes to this, because if you talk to nearly everybody, they'll tell you that you have to file your CA-1 within 30 days, not 3 years. Okay, the absolute last date you can file your CA-1 or CA-2 claim is 3 years from the date of injury, not 30 days. But if you go to any post office right now, Kenny, and ask them, hey, I just got injured. When's the last day I can file my CA-1? What are they going to say?
30 days.
30 days, but that only applies to COP. Okay? So if somebody comes back to you and says two things. One, you don't qualify for COP, or you don't qualify because it's outside of the 30 days, I meant to say. You say, well, I can still file my CA-1 claim within 3 years. Okay? I'm just not entitled to the COP. If somebody comes back to you and says, well, I don't believe your claim, it was actually valid, so we're not going to issue the CA-16. Your question to them has got to be, did I ask for that CA-16 within 7 days of the date of injury? If the answer to that is yes, that means you're entitled to it. It's yours, and I would fight like hell to get it because that is yours. Even if you don't use it, I'd still request it because everyone behind you is going to have to deal with the same exact problem, and there's no reason why you can't be a pathfinder or a trendsetter today and get the education to the people that need it. If they're denying you your CA-16, you know what they've done to everybody before you? Denied them their CA-16.
You're right.
What are they going to do to everybody behind you?
Same thing.
They're going to deny everyone behind you. Help everyone behind you by educating nicely educating their supervisor.
And I look on the, you're right, on the CA-1, number 15, line item 15, it talks about election of COP leave. Again, this is in the instructions part of the CA-1, and I just want to read this to you. It tells you, if you're disabled for work as a result of this injury and file CA-1 within 30 days of the injury, you may be entitled to receive continuation of pay from your employing agency. COP is paid for up to 45 calendar days of disability and is not charged against sick or annual leave. Now, again, so as I read the instruction, it tells me that if I file this claim within 30 days of the injury, I may be entitled to 45 days of COP.
Exactly.
So I have to bring that to another issue. And because this is something that only the post office does, what is your understanding as far as that declination form that the post office uses in the Department of Labor? Does that have any weight or value?
So they are absolutely going to submit that as evidence against you. All right. That's why you have to put in a letter to OWCP all the reasons why you were forced to change your mind because your injury didn't get better. All right. Now, here's something important to note, and you're probably going to know this already, and this is a little bit sarcastic, but I'm a sarcastic dude. So here's the deal. Are you a doctor? Actually, let me ask you, Kenny. You a doctor? Where did you get your medical degree from?
Now, I per se am not a doctor, but I know some doctors.
You watched enough.
Doctor by proxy, man.
Yeah, I think you watched enough House and ER. You know about what we're talking about, right? Well, this is the same question. You know, is, you know, your supervisor is also not a doctor. Okay, I mean, most people don't go to medical school and then switch real quick and then go to work for the post office. All right. There's probably somebody out there, and great, you know, that would be a great supervisor to have. The issue here is that when they're going to submit that declination form along with your documentation that you filled out for your CA-1 and say, hey, Ken said he wasn't even to file a claim. Now he's filing a claim. What's up with that? And OWCP is going to ask a very valid question. How come you signed this declination form and now are essentially recanting? And you're going to have to put the reasons in there. I'm just going off the top of my head, and I don't know your personal scenario at all, but some of those reasons would be it didn't initially hurt as bad.
Right.
It took several days for the injury to kind of kick in. I mean, we all know that if you have a hairline fracture and go take an x-ray right now, it's not going to show up. It takes a couple days for that to show up on x-ray.
Okay.
Certain injuries are like that as well, especially as the inflammation process starts to set in. It's going to take several days. That's why at the scene of a car accident, as a matter of fact, several years ago, I was involved in a car accident. Me and my three kids were driving home from my daughter's softball game. Somebody pulled out right in front of us, and we just smashed them. Okay, I was fine at the car scene. I got knocked out, but from the airbag and hit my head and all that kind of stuff. But when the ambulance came, they said, "You know how you doing?" I said, "Fine. I can move around. I was fine." The next day, I was off kilter. 2 days after that, I was wrecked. Okay, so sometimes that happens, and that's the process that you would elucidate in your letter to OWCP. And you're going to want to head this off at the pass. If you know you signed the declination form, when you file your CA-1, and attach this letter to it. Attach this letter saying, hey, I signed a declination form. Here's why I signed at that time, and here's why I was forced to change my mind because of my injury.
Did you say that I would have to elucidate?
Wait a minute. You going to stop with the big words. Now.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. But you know what?
Again, injury compensation, folks, is such a precise set of rules and regulations that you got to follow. I don't know why, and I'm so serious, you would ever attempt to do this on your own. Federal injury centers, that's what they do. They make sure they do case management. They make sure you get what you are entitled to. You know, we can read now, again, if you're one of those individuals who likes to read and likes to follow the instructions as you learn them, then by all means do so. But me personally, I'd rather put my trust in an organization like Federal Injury Centers. This is what they do. And if you're hurt and you want to make sure you get everything you're entitled to, Tom D'Ampa, Chris and Jeannie Helms, these are the people you want to talk to and follow the guidance so that you get what you're entitled to.
Absolutely. And if you are the type of person that likes to gain knowledge and read and help yourself, I would recommend buying Chris Helms' book at BreakingOWCP.com. Okay, he's got two books out there now. The third one's coming out shortly. But the fact of the matter is he put that book together to help you guys out. Now, periodically, people will say, you guys are trying to sell books. I don't make a single cent off of what Chris sells. And then on top of that, let me explain to you something. I know what Chris makes on that book, and it doesn't even cover the postage. So, guys, if you feel like he's just out there trying to sell books because he's going to get rich, he's not getting rich. He really, genuinely wants to get that information into your hand.
I sell books. Listen, if you're interested in knowing about how to break OWCP, you go online, you contact Chris Helms, and you get, what is it, three verses he's got now, right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting on the last, excuse me, watch this. I'm waiting on the last autographed copy from Chris. you know, but I'm just going to throw that in the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, no, really. Maybe you know somebody that can get a hold of him. You know?
No, I talked to Chris already. But listen, real talk. These are tools. These are avenues that's only going to enrich your situation. I hope nobody gets hurt at work. I hope everybody goes to work and does their job properly, and we never have another injury.
Exactly.
But that's not going to happen. So I believe in arming myself or surrounding myself with people who are in a position to help me in different situations. And I want to say to you, when it comes to federal injuries, you got to stay with, you got to contact, you got to connect to Federal Injury Centers, because that team of experts, man, will give you what you need. And again, most of what they give you, you're not going to hear at work. So it's going to create a short dichotomy for you. Who do I listen to? And for some reason, you already know your supervisor don't know what they're talking about. But a lot of times you listen to that anyway. Let's stop that. That's just a bad way to be.
Yep, exactly.
You know, connect with Chris and Jeannie Helms, Tom D'Ampa, the Federal Injury Centers. And yes, I always do promos for them on this show. In fact, they are the second half of this show. Tom D'Ampa is an employee with Federal Injury Centers. And I'm a firm believer that if I'm going to bring you knowledge, I want the best possible source. And with Federal Injury Centers, I know I have that. Hey, before we get off the air, Tom, any closing words you want to put out there?
Yes, one of the things I want to talk about in the next episode is second opinion doctors. People are absolutely petrified. I got a second opinion. My supervisor, my postmaster, my whoever said they're going to send me for a second opinion. I'm going to lay out the truth for you when it comes to second opinion doctors.
And there you have it from the man himself. Tom's going to give you second opinion information. So let me just end this show and see if we can schedule with Tom for the next show so I make sure I get that information out to you. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge from Tuesday Night Sick Call with Tom D'Ampa from Federal Injury Center saying, we take the time to keep you informed. So all you have to do is push a button on my podcast, push a button on the Wednesday Night OWCP chat, and connect to good information. Have a great day.
Have a good night, everybody.